Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name. Your name.
Hello and welcome to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg and I'm joined as usual by Tom and Melissa Gould, who will be your hosts for this evening. As you regular listeners know, this is the show where we address questions that you wrote in, but not only questions, but personal experiences that you'd like to talk about or like to share with us, because people love hearing the personal experiences of others. So if you have a question or a personal experience that you'd like to join in with us, the number is 888-627-6008. Hello, Tom and Melissa. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Okay. Multitasking as usual.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure you're doing the same, you know, juggling. My dad's been in the hospital all week, so I've been going, trying to talk to doctors because he doesn't hear anything. So they tell him something he doesn't understand. So I'm doing that. And we're going to attempt to move back into our house tomorrow. Despite the continuing construction, but yeah, that's okay. It'll be good to get back.
So
we have a bunch of questions that came in. You know, I also wanted to mention to people that we, you know, we're always getting an influx of new listeners, you know, that haven't listened to the show before. So you may notice that a lot of the questions that come in have come in previously on, you know, different shows, but that's okay because people still need to hear the information and we'll probably give them different answers than we gave them the last time. So let's get right into some of the questions that people have sent in. Here's one. You know, my 37-year-old daughter passed 2 years ago. The first year I felt her presence a lot. The second, not so much, and no dreams for a long time, even though I request them and also ask to remember my dreams. What can I do to communicate with my daughter? Well, that's a good question, but one that we get a lot. I mean, I guess the short answer is there's no easy answer, you know, to that. You seem to be doing the things that you know, that a lot of people do in requesting it, sending your intention out there, asking, you know, for her to come to you, you know, in a dream. So, you know, you're doing the right things, you know, like when it's going to happen, you know, it's going to happen. You guys want to add to that?
Yeah, you hit on it right with the last thing you said, that it's going to happen when it's going to happen, that it often does not happen right away, for number one. Number two, I would also say, yes, if you are requesting, oh, please send me a butterfly or please just show up in my dream, that might not be something that they can readily do. So be open to that they will send you a different sign than you requested. And then, like I say, it might be a day or two later that you all of a sudden you'll see, this is probably the question, because there is no clear definitive answer for it other than just staying open. I'm reading a book now about a woman who was becoming a medium and discovering her talents, and she was going to a lot of workshops and that, and the one thing that she was told in the workshops is, you know, always keep your energy up, you know, whether it's just thinking positive thoughts, not getting mired down in depression, that's the kind of thing that can hinder communication. I know it's easy to say and very difficult to do when you're in the midst of grief to try to think, oh, be happy today. Well, I'm not happy. I'm miserable. That's why I want to sign. So, but yeah, that's the best I can say, is to keep your energy up, keep positive thoughts, and that's the best you can do.
And my two cents is sometimes you get a little too literal and you have to broaden your perspective on what you asked for, that it won't maybe appear to you in exactly the way you envision it appearing, but in some other form. I recall when my mom was getting on in years, and we would have open discussions about once she was gone. And I remember saying to her, oh, let me think what I'm, you know, what sign I'm going to be looking for. And she stopped me. She goes, no, I'm going to come up with my own sign. So I don't know what, you know, I feel her all the time around me. So I'm sensing her presence often just being outside in nature and the little things I see. But I also want to remind folks that try to be content with the signs you do get. And often people will say, well, I got a lot of signs in the beginning, but then not so much. Are they off doing something or don't they care about us? But we've all heard that our loved ones do care about us and want us to be happy and out doing things. And if we were getting too many dream visits, wouldn't we just want to stay in bed and get more dream visits? And that's not what we're meant to do.
Okay. Here's a regular listener that listens to the show, all the different shows. And he said a little while back, Doreen said that my dog, you know, who died in 2021, showed himself alongside my father figure. So my father was still alive at that time, but was suffering from an illness. I sensed spirits in his room one night in which I felt he was telling me, the spirits, while he was asleep, that he was not ready to go home yet. I told my sister about this experience the next day. The next day he died suddenly, and while sitting on his couch unexpectedly, despite struggling with an illness. My question is, can our loved ones show up in a reading even though they are still alive, or was my dog showing himself alongside my father to let me know that my father would soon be joining him on the other side?
Fascinating.
It could be a little of both, don't you think? I think that when people are straddling two worlds, in that before physical death, but close to physical death, that their consciousness can be in different places, and they could come through in the reading because the medium is perceiving that energy as a discarnate energy. And it's close, and technically it's not a discarnate, but it's the same thing. And that's why, mediums sometimes could pick up information from people in comas and unresponsive. And then the other question about, could it be that the dog coming through to show that dad was, you know, I think that's plausible too. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. In fact, we get a lot of readings that will, they will come through, say, when a baby is born, and they'll be holding the baby as if I was with this baby before it came to you. So I think that one in particular, and of course, dogs who are very supportive and compassionate creatures, knew that he was needing help and went to that person and come through in the reading. We say, I'm with him now, because I'll just in life where the dog protects him, I'll be protecting him here as well.
I recall reading a book written by a well-known medium, and he spoke about, I believe it was seeing somebody on a train, and the person's whole image just sort of had a brownish aura to it. And to him, that meant the person wasn't going to be in the physical form much longer. And I'd be curious, had the medium said, you know, I see the dog with your father it's looking a little brownish or gray today.
Yeah.
It would be interesting just to make that distinction. But I think most mediums would not, ethical ones wouldn't share that your loved one's about to cross over.
Right. You're right. I mean, they would put it in a non-threatening way, you know, so they're not going to give them dire information.
And I actually got a sign from maybe when you, both of them, but when my father was, he had a stroke at the end of his life and was in a coma, and then we took him to hospice. So he was still breathing and technically alive. And on his way to hospice, we got a sign from him while he was still technically alive. And I remember also when my mother was close to passing, and we needed to get her to the hospice. And when the ambulance showed up, there's only one guy, and he needed me to help get her onto the gurney. And I remember distinctly that when we moved her, she was uncommunicative at the time, but you know, I remember moving her and hearing her go, oh, like that. And as soon as she did that, I felt a rush come through me. And I kind of knew it was her kind of leaving her body, although it was another day and a half till she actually physically passed.
And if you met, she always insisted that she die at home. So to us, she did.
Yeah, she left her body before we could take it to the hospice, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Well, many people believe that our soul releases before the actual physical body gives out, you know, so that, you know, that would explain that. Let's see. Do our deceased loved ones stay with us and send signs to communicate for the rest of our lives until we join them? Or are they only able to stay and communicate a month after their death? And then are they gone completely? So, you know, I mean, they're connected to you for your whole life, which doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be communicating with you, you know, for the rest of your life. But certainly there's no time period like a month or, you know, I mean, we have cases where the people communicate after a century. But as we've talked about before, it is true that as time progresses, time as we know it, that the communications get less frequent, and we can speculate as to why that is. You know, I would imagine that our loved ones have a lot to do on the other side, and they're also progressing and learning, and they know that they're going to see you again, and they know that this physical life is just a blip, so it's not as important as it once was when they were trying to console you and to let them know. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that they're ever gone completely. You guys agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. My dad's been gone now. Well, it's 20 years now.
Yeah.
And, I will still see signs, not as we've mentioned before, not a lot. I mean, the first couple of days, I mean, before he died and the day of his death, there were signs all over the place. That I don't get as much, but I do every once in a while. I will get something that will go, oh, there's dad or there's mom. My theory on this, or my hypothesis, is that they want you to enjoy this life. As you mentioned, our life here is just a blip. 100 years. For some, not even most of us don't even make it to 100 years, which when you think about your soul and your energy, it's eternal. So 100 years in eternity is just, it's not even a weekend. It's like a day off that you've gone out. You know, if you go on a day trip to an amusement park or something and you spend the whole time on the phone calling home to your loved one saying, oh, are you still there? You know, are we going to see each other? It's like, yeah, we're going to see each other, you know, just enjoy yourself and then we'll see each other, and then we'll be there for eternity. So I think that's part of the thing. They don't want to tie you down to them being over there. I know we all feel it, that we wish they weren't, but as long as they are, enjoy yourself now, and you'll meet up later.
Is that like the song we heard last week? Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
Yes, it's the Specials song, because the lead singer of the Specials passed away a couple of weeks ago. Oh. So a friend of ours pulled out that song to honor him. But yeah, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
Okay, and I just wanted to remind people, you're listening to The Gathering, and the phone number here, in case you wanted to share an experience or ask a question, is 888-627-6008. Okay, so now we see, this person just wanted to share a story with us, and she said that, she said, I have five children aging from 12 to 33. My oldest son, Garrett, passed on unexpectedly this past April. He was such a huge part of our everyday lives, and every day is still a struggle, but we lean on each other greatly. I recently had a dream of walking into a room, seeing him lounging on a couch. I was surprised to see him and asked, what are you doing here? And he said, the holidays are coming up. And she said, well, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and your birthday. And then he said, well, I want a cake with a dancer on it. And she said, what, a dancer? And then she woke up. And I shared this dream with his brother, and we were determined to make sure we made this cake for his birthday, which is the day after Christmas. So we baked this cake, played board games. They always loved to have a family game night, and painted rocks that were in his art style to randomly place in his favorite spots around town. I think that's great. You know, I mean, we always talk about continuing a relationship with your deceased people rather than disassociating, and you're certainly doing that. And in your dream, you had a vivid, you know, dream, you know, visit where you're, he came to you just before his birthday. It's not a coincidence. So, I mean, I think that's pretty cool.
Awesome way to honor his memory, to do the rock. I mean, playing the games is wonderful as a family, because that's what he loved to do. But then to take this step further and paint those rocks and put them around his town, I'm going to remember to share that with other people who are looking for something. Because sometimes people want to do something to honor a person, and they hear, oh, somebody, you know, built a garden or dedicated a bench. And those things can be kind of costly, but here rocks, painting rocks, has just as much meaning. And it, you know, it doesn't really cost you anything.
Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, we keep talking about how do we get a sign from them? How do we get a sign from them? Well, this story is perfect. What about you sending a sign to them instead of waiting for them to send a sign to you? And as Melissa says, I can't tell you how many medium readings I've seen where the spirit comes through and said, and you built a garden for me, or you did a fundraiser in my name. I really appreciate that. They do appreciate that. And the love that you send to them is as appreciated as them sending it some to you.
Yeah, it's very important.
All right, let's take a caller. We have Kathy from Canada on the line. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, and how are you all?
Okay.
Thank you for my call. First time I've connected with you. My son just passed October 22nd.
So sorry.
Yeah, no, thanks. He came to me. Even 2 days before the hospital told me he was brain dead, he came to me in beautiful dreams, and I know what they meant. Then he was coming to me, and now he's not. Like, it's only 2 months, and I keep asking him to come to me in dreams and things. And I'm sorry, this might be too raw for this, but what do I do? I just heard the other you say that we should do things for them in their honor also.
Yeah, you know, listen, you know, it really is kind of a blessing that he was able to come to you in a dream so quickly.
Right.
That doesn't always happen, believe me. So, you know, I mean, you had a very strong love bond and you know, he knows that you're obviously in tremendous grief, and what better way to let you know that he's still alive, you know, than coming to you in a vivid dream. So you have to take some comfort in that, do you?
Oh, it's the only comfort I've been getting is, that he came. Yes. Yeah, it's
Kathy,
been total did, comfort.
Did you, Kathy, did you, I know you remember the dream so clearly. Did you perhaps also write it down, write down some of the details?
Yeah, maybe I will. I remember a lot.
Yeah, do that. Please, please do that, because it you know, it will stay fresh in your mind, but being able to reread it and recapture the feeling you had when you had that dream is so important. And he'll know you're reading it, and speak his name when you read it to yourself. Use his name, and I truly believe it just keeps them closer to us.
Oh, wow. Okay, and I know what most of me dream means. It was beautiful. It was 2 days before the hospital. He had gone into a coma before, and I said, no, he's coming out of it. We got him out of it. 8 months of rehab. He was doing great. He was home for 2.5 months, 3 months. And then, I kept thinking he's going to come out of this coma, too. The hospital was afraid to tell me there was no brain activity this time. And so 2 nights before, they told me, I dreamt like he was young again, about 22, he was 47 when he passed. And he was in a pool. He had red shorts on. He was in a pool. Like, we used to have a huge pool, play volleyball or basketball net in it when he was younger. And he was doing that, and he was laughing. He was beautiful. He was happy. And, you know, so I think he came to me then to let me know he's okay.
Yeah. And they usually will come to you, you know, appearing, you know, when they felt the best about themselves, you know. And so he was happy and joyful, and that's the way he wanted to you to remember him. So, you know, that's great. And, you know, rest assured that, I mean, it obviously this just happened, but I think that you'll be getting, you know, many, many different types of signs and communications as time goes on. And as you're doing, you just treasure them and latch onto them when you get them, and reflect back upon these things, you know, when your grief gets to be overwhelming.
You know, and as you're describing the dream, like, it, you know, the detail that you describe makes it sound like it was pretty vivid. Mm-hmm. And you remember all those details. I mean, personally, when I wake up from a dream, I barely remember what the dream was about, but you remembering the color of his shorts and the blue water and all, that is an indication that it was an actual visitation. So he was there with you. And it's a beautiful thing when it happens.
Kathy, will you tell us your dear son's name?
It was, we called him Drew. It was Andrew.
Beautiful.
So they called him Andrew when he was younger, and then the kids in about grade 8, 7 switched it to Drew. So then it just stuck. So we called him Drew.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that story about
him. Yeah, and thanks for having the courage to call, and we wish you well. And we're so sorry.
Thank you so much. Figure out your group. I couldn't even figure out how to get on the radio, but I'm here 100% with you guys. I've learned a lot, and I watched some of your videos, and it gave me a lot of comfort.
Well, great. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Be well, Kathy.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All of you too. Also, thank you.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
Always tough to hear, but that's the nature of the work that we do, right?
That was a beautiful dream.
No, it never gets easier.
No.
My heart always breaks for everybody that when the stories get told.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We have. What is it like on the other side? Do they experience weather, rain, snow, or sunny days and such? It's a legitimate question. We can't tell for sure, but we know from a lot of reports that are given by near-death experiences, they report, like the brightest light that possible. You know, it's like the brightest sun, but it doesn't hurt their eyes. And there are landscapes, and I never really heard any descriptions about rain or snow or that kind of stuff. But I think it's, as we always say, you're an entity of thought and energy on the other side, and you can manifest things. So if you really enjoyed playing in the snow, you can make it snow, in that world. So I don't think it's subject to the physical weather patterns and laws that we have. It's a different dimension. But yet people usually describe these magnificent kind of, landscapes there, which is kind of something to look forward to,
And colors like we can't even imagine, and music that's indescribable.
And
also I've read some accounts that you can manifest. I wanted to live in a big house on the beach, and you manifest that that's where I am now. You kind of make it up in your mind. And I know Melissa, one of her favorite things is a rainy, gloomy day. So I could imagine she would be manifesting sitting having tea on a porch on a rainy day.
And then people will be coming up to you in the afterlife saying, Melissa, what is this? Come on. You're raining on my parade.
Well, I'm going to be a little crass. I don't usually speak this way, but I certainly recall Fran always saying, I just want to sit on my fat ass on the beach.
Right.
So that's where I picture Fran.
Yeah, well, it could be. Maybe that's where she is. Let's see. I would like to know if our loved ones that cross to the other side can be spirit guides for their own family, or is it only for unrelated people? Or perhaps being a spirit guide takes a long process that may not happen while the close relatives are still on Earth. I'd love to know your thoughts on this. Again, I think that all the things that you suggest, I think can happen. I don't see any reason why. And look, our loved ones on the other side stay attached to us, and they're interested in our lives. So whether you want to call them a spirit guide or just a loving part of our family, I mean, they're gonna remain a part of your life, but you can easily call them a spirit guide. And it's also possible that, as you suggested, that it is a long process for an actual spirit guide, that maybe it's an accumulation of many lifetimes, and it's somebody that's more enlightened than others. But I think that spirit guides can be within your own family.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring this up, because I had been reading an article, and I'm trying to enlarge the print here, but I can't really see it. It was actually a medium that I'm not familiar with, who had shared answers to these kinds of questions on a website. And the question somebody said, can humans become guardian angels, especially for children? And this medium, her response was, well, not technically angels. Humans that have transitioned can become a guardian or a spirit guide for them. They don't become angels. Angels are a high vibrational being that does not incarnate into a physical body, and a physical body doesn't become an angel. However, all humans already have guardian angels that guide and support them throughout their evolution. So that didn't exactly answer this question necessarily, but if other people were curious, that might give them a little bit of comfort knowing that.
Mm.
And if anybody says, well, where the heck did Melissa get that from? I'll be ready with the answer.
Okay. This is a question. I had a medium reading, and almost the whole time the medium had her eyes closed. Any explanation for this? Well, I know that when I'm trying to really focus on something, I have a tendency to close my eyes because you're shutting out all the chatter, you know, when you're trying to focus internally, as you know, not subject to the environment. So I could see doing now from the foundation's perspective, you know, we don't really like to see that, like when they're doing like a demonstration or a group session, because it sometimes people find it a little disturbing for some reason, you know, that they should be able to read with their eyes open. But I could see why they do it. What do you think?
I agree. I'm also thinking that many, many mediums do phone readings these days, not on Zoom, just a phone reading.
So nobody would know. Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah. And then, of course, they get their messages. You know, one of our mediums, Laura Lynn, talks about seeing a little movie in her head. And so, you know, if you close your eyes, you can see the movie better, I suppose.
Not the dust on the lampshade.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't close her eyes, but I can certainly see it. In fact, Melissa has told me that sometimes when I'm deep in conversation and trying to make a point that I'm thinking about, that I'll be talking and my eyes will be closed. And
I go like this, and he doesn't even open them.
Annoys her no end. Which is why I probably keep doing it. So
maybe he just doesn't want to talk to you at the moment. Well, yeah, you know, I thought about that because, you know, sometimes when I used to try to do these intuitive exercises, these psychic, you know, like card guessing and stuff, I'd always, you know, close my eyes, you know, to try to like send the, didn't work, but, but I think a lot of people do that. So I don't think it's so unusual.
No, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see. So what are your thoughts on certain smells appearing out of nowhere, smelling like our loved ones, but at times I may not be directly thinking of them at that moment. Also waking up in the middle of the night, always around 3 a.m., feeling as if she is next to me. Why are some days much harder than others as far as grieving? Well, there's a bunch of things there, but as far as smells appearing out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and like Tom was mentioning before about we're always asking for signs, you know, but sometimes you have to give them a sign. I mean, just you may not be – it works both ways. And here, picking up the smell of your loved one, even when you're not thinking about them, that's just them saying hello. I mean, you weren't expecting them to come, but they're taking the initiative. So it doesn't matter that you weren't thinking of them. I think it helps. More signs come when you are thinking of them, but that doesn't mean that they won't come if you don't. I thought the other thing that she said was waking up in the middle of the night, always around 3 a.m. It was interesting because we've read that time and time again. People report that in that hour of 3 to 4 a.m. is when most of these dream visitations occur, and not only dream visitations, but other communications and signs, you know, like, you know, apparitions and so forth. So you've heard that too, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. In fact, I was having a reading with a medium, and my grandfather came through, and he talked about, well, you get up in the middle of the night. And I mean, from the skeptic point of view, yeah, I'm of a certain age where, of course, I get up during the night. But
yeah,
but he said, well, that's your grandfather. He says he will wakes you up in the night. So, you know, take that where you will. But on the other end, Melissa and I took a little class seminar in mediumship, and the woman who was running the show all of a sudden says, well, we need two volunteers. And one woman put her hand to, and then I didn't somehow talk and say, Okay, what's the first thing that you know you, comes into your mind when you look at her? And I all I could at the moment, I just smelled orange, like a cleaning fluid. And we were in a hotel at the time, and I figured, oh, they must be cleaning the rooms or something. And I looked around the room. I said, wow, does everybody smell that? That's pretty strong. It's a citrusy smell. And the woman who was running the class said, well, what does that mean to you? And I said, well, citrus, I think of Florida, oranges. And the woman who was sitting in the chair says, I just came back from Florida. So that's the extent of my mediumship career. I haven't gotten up the nerve to go into medium certification process yet. But that is, and when you say, is smell, are smells, yeah, that's one of the clairs. There's a whole list of clairs, whether you can see or you can hear or you can smell. Lloyd Auerbach has a great story about a pilot friend of his who, when he passed away, he visited his friends wherever in the vehicles that they were in, and every last one of them smelled cigar smoke, and the guy was a cigar smoker. So, yeah, if you smell the cologne of your loved one or the perfume, yeah, that's probably them.
And I think that's for us in the physical form, because when we were talking before what it's like on the other side and the beautiful sights you see and the colors and the music, we didn't talk about smells. No, I don't think anybody, I don't know, Bob, you've had more familiarity with people who have NDEs. Do they ever speak about smelling something?
Well, yeah, but as you mentioned before, the senses are all intense and very often intermingled. So they might smell color. You know, they might smell the color red.
Wow.
You know, the physical senses we hear, they're all separated. I think there that they're kind of all together. That's why the experience there is so intense compared to this physical world.
Isn't there something on the I've heard about this, that it's a psychological condition, an anomaly, where there are people who do smell colors.
Yeah, I mean it's synesthesia. You know, I mean we've had a synesthetes, as they're called, occasionally on the show, and they talk about that. People can't understand it, but there's just something, as you mentioned, it could be the result of the wiring, you know, in the brain, or it could be something else. They do the same. They can taste music, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just imagine that, you know. I mean, it's so, and I always thought it was fascinating because that's the same thing that near death experiences describe. So maybe that they're practicing for the, right. For the, where they have a jump on the rest of us for what it's going to be like after this, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, and I can smell music sometimes because some music really stinks.
Yeah, I set you up beautifully for that. All right, let's see. My daughter passed at age 37 from an accidental overdose. My question is, when a person passed unexpectedly, what kind of reentry into spirit world do they have? Also now that time has passed, you know, what are they up to? So, you know, I mean, she passed from an accident, which is no different than passing from an illness. And their entry or re-entry, as you describe it, into the spirit world is no different than anybody else. I mean, it's, we imagine that where they wind up is commensurate with the life that they lived here. I mean, so they're going to be with like-minded people. I mean, if she was a person with a big heart and warm and empathetic and compassionate and loving, she'll be with like people. You know, if somebody that wasn't, you know, would be in a kind of a different sphere, you want to call it. So I don't think that there's any stigma, if that's what, you know, you're thinking about, because it was an overdose, it was an accident, and it's the same as anything else. I mean, as far as the other question, now that they passed, what are they up to? Well, we touched on that a little bit before. I guess, in short, anything that they want to be up to, you know, they're up to, because they have none of the constraints that we have with the physical body.
Yeah, and I was struck with the term, if they pass unexpectedly. Well, it's unexpected to us, but it's not unexpected to their life cycle. That's when they were going to pass. And, you know, if they weren't passing from an illness, as you said, then some freak accident will take them. But if it's their time, if their number is up, they're gone.
Right. Hey, let's take another caller. We have Jamil.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, welcome to Signs of Life.
Thank you very much. Thank you for taking my call. I really so appreciate your work, and the conversations are always so comforting and inspiring, and your dedication to this work is just so appreciated. I really appreciate you all. And I, yeah, I really do. I attended the foundation, the Forever Family Foundation grief retreat. The last one in Connecticut was Fran. Aww. And, yeah, it was very, very powerful, very, very special. And I am, it gave me a lot of courage to go deeper into the grieving process and help me appreciate other people, because I had done the whole process on my own. And at this stage, now we're turning the clock. In February, will be 14 years. And, you know, there's really, it's such a long, it can be for me, it has been for me, but for many, you know, it's a process that has so many evolutionary landmarks, if you will. And I really appreciated the comment just before I came on about how, you know, when it's your time, it's your time. And one of the things that's been helping me a lot is understanding the big gears going on. And I've been working with astrology a lot of late. And my mother, who I've been predominantly processing the grief with for the last 13, almost 14 years. She was a multiple near-death experiencer, Juliet Nightingale, and she was prepared me well for knowing that she was going to be fine, that she had longed to return to the light. There was never, it was dinner talk. Okay. She wanted to go back, and, you know, that was going to happen, and she was looking forward to it. So I never had any concern about her destination. And closer to her departure, she was very clear. She was going to transform into a light body, and she wanted to stay close in this time to help humanity make good decisions, is how she said it. That she was very, very concerned about our direction, and that she felt very conflicted with her body being sick all the time and all these limitations, and she just really wanted to plug in on a higher note. And I totally believed her. I had, you know, absolutely no reason to doubt her at this stage in our relationship. We'd gone a lot of miles in these sort of conversations. And she was very famous for manipulating lights. She always, in her body, she would blink lights and blow lights out. Like, she always messed with lights. And they say that, you know, near-death experiencers have this relationship with electricity that's hypercharged, and my mother had that when she was incarnate. So I fully was not surprised at the initial signs being very dominant lights, blinking, onning, offing, very comforting. Because the thing about her departure that we really was not clear in the picture was, okay, yeah, you're going to be great, but that I was going to be left here without her. That part we didn't really cover so well. So that was really hard. So I can't tell you how grateful I am that I was able to be really fully cognizant and open to her light dance and many dreams and never question her presence with me. And it really opened me to the reality reality of opening to a new relationship with her and just letting us move multidimensionally into another plane of relationship, that she would be in another form, on another vibration, in another transcendent state. And it would be an invitation to me to grow myself and to open to other realms. And of course, I want to be close to her. So it was like all the inspiration I needed to really, you know, take in that opportunity, as difficult, especially in the beginning, as it was. So what is happening right now, which is really, I'm at this stage in my grieving process, I'm coming out finally, 14 years, and I'm really ready to start moving into sharing more, integrating the things that I've learned. I'm preparing a whole new way of actually, you know, joining the human family again after feeling like I've been in this sort of cocoon for a long time. And so the light, I just want to share this experience that's happening right now. And it's very connected to this phase we're in, as turning the corner in another comment that you made earlier about not, very important not to let their being away hold me back. Well, easier said than done, but right now I'm really jumping off. Now I really get it. It's time to go and live. And so what my mom has gifted me that I want to share with all of you is that this is the second year I've had a Christmas tree, and never mind going down that road about the beauty of this new tradition that, I don't know if you call it a tradition after 2 years, but this year I really put my whole heart in it and have been taking great care in the decorations and just giving it a whole meaning of my own. But I don't have any stories of past. I never had religion. I never had a tree. I'm just giving it my own special meaning. And I have these little white lights that have little tiny batteries, and I hung them on the tree. Because they're little tiny batteries, the lights in all the other places I've used them go off after about 3 hours. And so I've been turning them on. I was turning them on and turning them off, you know, when I would sit and meditate with the tree. Well, then my housemate gave me this string of lights that's got a bigger battery, and I thought, oh, cool. So 2 weeks ago, after the solstice, I turned the lights on, the little batteries, and I said, okay, well, I'll let them burn out. And when they burn out, then I'll just take them off and restring with this, you know, other light option. Well, they're still on.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, we're not surprised. I mean, we have to run, but listen, it's clear that your mother was an enlightened soul and a teacher while she was in body and out of body, and she prepared you very well, you know, to get through this. I mean, you've come to a tremendous understanding, and of course the light has been discussed, you know, for thousands of years. It's the predominant force, you know, it seems, in this universe. But I thank you so much for calling, and good to talk to you again.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. And maybe we'll see you again at another retreat.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you for listening. Okay. Thank you for being here.
Okay. Thank you, Germaine.
You too.
Take care. All right. Good night. Let's quickly go to Suzanne from Alabama. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was actually the one that sent the email about the dancer on the cake and the rock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You read that so nicely. But my question is, we have dreams and I see orbs often, but I've recently started feeling like a weight on my back periodically, like just here in the 3 a.m. hour or just randomly through the day. Can our loved ones, after they pass over, are they able to physically let us know that they're there by possibly hugging us and like putting that weight to where we, you know, actually feel like physically like the weight, you know, on my back, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it feels like he's hugging me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And sometimes people even have these reports of like their loved one, sitting on the bed, and then afterwards they see an indentation on the bed, you know, but, I don't have time to go into it, but I had a similar story of touch, you know, where my deceased wife, you know, grabbed my thumb, you know, in an unusual way. So, you're not alone, and don't think this is unusual. We receive, you know, not only do we receive, but people have been reporting, you know, as all the other, you know, physical, you know, senses, you know, of smell and, you know, touch is certainly one of them. And so that's the way of your loved one saying hello, you know, and making it physical. They're entities of energy and they can manipulate energy.
And this is a good time to mention, when you do get something like that, when you're not even sure, but boy, did that, it's felt like his hand was on my back. Thank them for it.
Yes.
Say, yes, oh, that is that you? Oh, thank you for coming. Let them know that you're getting the signs.
Yeah.
It's one thing to get signs, but it's another thing to know. It's like when you mail a letter and you send somebody a check for their birthday and you never hear back from them. I mean, they're spending that money and they're having a great time, but you're sitting at home going, gee, I wonder if that'll even got to them. Let them know it got to them. Let them know
I felt that was you,
and I love that was you, and that'll encourage them.
So how did you feel when you got the touch? I mean, how did that?
I did exactly what you guys just said. I thank him for, you know, showing me or letting me feel his presence, because that's what I think it is too. But I know other people will be like, okay, but
share it with the right people.
Or keep it to yourself. Enjoy it. That's
right.
Yes. That's and so we good. Do. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you. And thanks for calling in, Suzanne.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Let's see, we only have a couple of minutes left. Let's see if we have another one here. I've been wondering if there have been any experiences where the soul of an unborn child comes through in a dream visitation, and what age would they show themselves as?
Be a child that doesn't have actually then make it into the physical world?
An unborn child. So, but the unborn child still has a soul. So, they can come through in a visitation, and they can appear as anything that they want. You know, that they.
In fact, yes, I've been to many readings where they say, "Well, you have three children." You go, "No, I have two children." Well, I see a third child here, and she, oh well, I had a miscarriage. Yeah, so they do come through.
Yeah.
And I also have heard mediums tell somebody who had a miscarriage that the child's whole purpose was just to have been wanted, and that fulfilled its need.
Yeah. All right, well, we've pretty much reached the end of our time. Why don't we read our global peace prayer in honor of Claude Swanson, who wrote this. He says, "Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment.
And now it's time to say our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Well, thank everybody for joining us tonight. We'll see you next time, and have a wonderful new year, or the best that you can. a healthy one for sure. Take care. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Night.